One thing I want us to understand, I know I've said this before, and if I haven't, I really apologize, but I know I've said it before. There is a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay, we're catching that. So if you got a problem with somebody in your life, please don't take rocks and throw them at them. And, you know, that could be a real problem. They take you to jail for things like that. In the Old Testament, things were a lot more physical, if you will. What's that?
Down to earth.
Down to earth. Yeah, real down to earth. In the New Testament, our land of possession, what's our land of possession?
Heaven.
No, but our land of possession.
Oh, life.
Our life. That's what we have. That's all we have is the kingdom of God is within. So the land of possession is not something that we can put our hands on and say, well, that's what I need to conquer. I need to go out and maybe South Ohio. We'll go out and, you know, clean out the land of South Ohio and set up our little kingdom. No, that's not what we want to do. And if you're going to do that, count me out. They tried that in the past, and I think they called that the Reformation. We don't want to do that. We're more into looking at the Word of God for what it has to say. These things were written for your ensamples. They're to give you an idea what you should be after. It's a picture. And we're making application here as we've looked at this morning, and the sin of Achan. Now, how many have heard this about this Bible story before? Have you heard of this Bible story before? Okay, some of you haven't, and it's a different story, and I'm sure any time you've heard it, what left an impression in my mind was probably the same thing that left an impression in Achan's mind, the rocks. The last thing that went through Achan's mind was a rock, you know. They were very, you say, well, that was pretty brutal. Honestly, it was. But so was the death of those 36 men. That was pretty brutal, too. And you say, well, what about his children? Yeah. That was pretty brutal. The innocent paid for the guilty is right. That's scary. Yes. That's a very important lesson to learn. And it's a very sobering chapter. It's a very sobering chapter. And here, we're coming down to verse 6 of chapter 7, and Joshua rents his clothes. It doesn't mean he orders a tuxedo. Yeah, well, that's Christ in a different way. Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth and is upon his face before the ark of the Lord, even until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads, and Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we have been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. What wilt thou do unto thy great name?" Father God, again, we come before you tonight in a great need. We need you. And Lord God, we ask that you just guide us through the Scriptures tonight. Lord, the lesson that we can't do anything apart from thee, and we don't want to hide anything back from thee because it's useless. You know our hearts. You know who we are. And Lord, we don't want to make excuses. We'd rather just deal with these things. Lord, help us not to hide behind things. Lord God, in all transparency, deal with the sins of our lives. That lay them bare. That they could be dealt with. That they could be stoned and left in the valley of trouble. Lord, I ask for your guidance tonight. Make these things plain and clear. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this is where Joshua says something's wrong. This should never be. Defeat in the Christian's life, and I'm not talking about failure. Failure may not be a defeat. Amen?
Yeah.
God can purpose you to fail because you need it. You need to look stupid now and again, and chances are you look stupid a lot more than you think you look stupid.
Yes,
amen?
Yes,
come on, I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm just trying to say this is the case. And we need to be cut down a little bit, and God does that for us. He humbles us when we won't humble ourselves. It's better that we should humble ourselves, that He'll exalt us in due time. But something was wrong. There was defeat. And if there's defeat in your life, there is no joy, there is no peace, there is no love. Something's broken. Something is desperately broken in your life as a Christian. And you say, well, not, you know, Pastor, isn't this where we're all at? Sad? Yeah. Why do you think we've been environed, circled, and cut off? Why do you think it's few? Because something's wrong with Christendom. Something stinks in Denmark. But it's not Denmark, it's Christendom. We have failure more than our bellyfuls of failure, and you wonder why. Well, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. How can that verse be true? And we live in the state we live in. They don't match. I'm sorry, but those things don't match. My life often doesn't match that verse. When I look at that verse, I wonder, wait a minute, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world, and I should be able to overcome the world. And again, I encourage you to read the book of 1 John. As you read that, you can look and you say, well, something's wrong. Something doesn't add up. You know, one of the chapters, one of the books that people come to me and talk to me about sometimes is 1 John. Say, oh, I don't understand this. How could this be so? It is so. But we don't catch it because we're living an abnormal Christian life. We need to live, as Watchman Nee put it, the normal Christian life. And the normal Christian life was lived by Jesus Christ. You say, hey, whoa, that's not normal. That's not a normal Christian life. How can Jesus' life be normal? Because it is. It's what it's supposed to be. If Christ is in me and I'm submitting to Christ and Christ is doing only those things which please His Heavenly Father, what should my life be? But does it? Ah, there's aching. Trouble. Trouble in the midst. Joshua falls before the ark. And again, that is a really good place to fall down in front of. And you notice he takes his time. He stays there till eventide. Him and the elders of Israel, they get on their face. You know, I think if there was a little bit more of this particular thing happening, we would know. What's wrong in my life? What's robbing me of my peace and my joy? Because we usually just walk by and go, oh, well, that's just life. That's the way it is. I'm going to have to live with this bitter attitude or this defeat. I'm going to have to live with it because that's just normal. It's not normal. It doesn't have to be that way. But what we need to do is get before the ark of God and get down on our face and say, Lord God, what's wrong? What's wrong, God? Show me from Thy Word. Do you think God will answer a prayer like that? Do you think God would enjoy a prayer like that? I double dare you to do it. Do you think you'd enjoy a prayer like that? Probably not, because you know what he'd probably say. Right? You know what he's going to put his finger on. Good place to fall here is before the mercy seat, the Word of God. Don't hide it. Joshua was not making excuses. He came before God and he said, I want to know. He took his time. He was troubled. He was grieved. And he was confused. And he asks why. That's not such a bad question. But I find here, if you want to have a concern about Joshua, this is probably one of the only places you're going to find anything that you could sort of bug him with and say, ooh, bad news. Because Joshua says something that's very familiar. He's heard this line before. Oh, would to God we had died on the other, you know, we'd stayed in Egypt. Would to God that we would stayed over there because things were better there. Were they better there?
No.
Were they better on the other side of Jordan?
No.
Of course they weren't. Joshua, what are you doing? You've brought us out here to destroy us? He's asking a question. He asks why, and he fears. He fears for the people's lives, and he fears for the honor of God's name. Have you brought us out here to destroy us? And I like what God says. Get up. Get thee up. Joshua, get up. Before you utter one more word, son, get up. Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Shouldn't God be happy? He's like, you know, wait a minute. He's trying to honor God. He's down there, and Joshua said, or God says to Joshua, get up. Why are you lying there on your face? You know what's wrong. This situation happened to you. Let's be honest. You ever come to read the Bible and you say, something's wrong in my life, and you get down and say, Lord, in your pious way, show me. God says, get up. And he says something like, hey, dummy, because, you know, he uses your first name. Get up. You know what's wrong. And you know that God knows what's wrong. Get up. This isn't a trick question. It's not rocket science. Something. Fallen, get up and do what God tells you to do. It doesn't get any simpler than this. Like a little boy who falls down and scrapes his knee. Dry the tears. Put some salve on it. You gotta get a band-aid. Put it on there. But get up, boy. Get up. Face the music and travel on. Scrape yourself off. Dust yourself off a little bit and get going. Let's be men. Let's be men about this. Let's get to the bottom of things and let's heal and let's pursue the victory again. Here's the problem that many of us face. We don't want to. I don't want to get up. We wallow in it. Come on, how many people like to wallow? Come on. You like to wallow in it. I failed. Woo, and you wallow in it. I'm a wallower, I understand. I like that. You play it over in your head and you, oh, I could have done this and I was so dumb, and you wallow in it and wallow in it. Get up! Get up! Again, I'll give you the quote. It's one thing to fall in a mud puddle. It's another thing to lay there for a week. So you blew it. Stand up, suck it up, and move along. God says, Joshua, get up. You know the problem. Let's find out what it is. You know how to get to the bottom of it, son. Well, how? You know, this reminds me of another situation. Remember when David tried to move the ark? First time. Says, he get all excited. He says, man, we're going to bring it home. We're going to get this ark and we're going to bring it into Jerusalem. And he got everybody ready there. And he got the party clowns and everybody there. And they were all dressed and ready to go, and had everybody was ready to play the music. And they got the thing loaded onto a cart. Dumb move. And Uzzah puts his hand up to stay the ark. And God smites him dead. Everybody stops. Well, I ain't touching it. Somebody else could drag this thing, but I ain't touching it. And David, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's a little bit upset with God. Man, I brought all these people out to see how great you are, and we're going to bring the ark back. What are you doing? You kill somebody. That's not good etiquette. God knows what he's doing, but David didn't. David knew better. Don't improve on the way I want to do it. You get the sons of Kohath out here, and he said, "Well, let's just put this thing in the house of Obed-Edom, and we'll just leave it there." 3 months later, things are going good. He said, all right, it's time. Let's go do this right. Joshua, you went out to battle Ai and you did it wrong. Now you know the problem. Fix it. No problem. You know, if you do things God's way, it's not a problem, is it? It's the thing that we like. We like to do it our way. No. You can't do it your way. You need to do it God's way. But I can serve God any way I please. No, you can't. You can serve yourself any way you please, but you can't serve God any way you please. Well, I'm going to do it this way. Well, go ahead. You're not going to have God behind you. Go ahead. Go up to that molehill. Go up to that heap and see if you can beat them. You ain't going to do it. Problem isn't with God. Here's a lesson to learn. If there's a problem, it's not with God, is it? Come on, what's the problem with our Christian lives? Is it God? Wait a minute. It's the time we live in. Brother, you don't understand. We live in a wicked generation. It's true. We live in one. Is it any wicked, more wicked than the last generation? Honestly, it isn't.
No. No new sin.
No new sin. Wait a minute. We really live in a bad situation. You don't understand how bad it is. Hey, ask the early Christians about that. Ask the early Christians about, you know, some of the people were sort of, you know, they met for prayer meeting and they got drugged away and burned at the stake or thrown to the lions. That was pretty nasty times, wasn't it? Okay? They don't do that these days. It's coming. Coming soon to a church near you. But they don't do that right now. So we're pretty good. So don't tell me things are tougher now than they were back then. It's wicked. It's easier when things are wickeder because you can draw the line and say, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. It's easy. That's wrong. This is right. Let's go to God's way. It's not the problem of the times we live. If you want to know the problem, God's only too happy to show you. Up, sanctify the people. Here's the instruction. And say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Can you imagine Achan going through this ritual of sanctifying himself? What's the use, buddy? You know what's coming. I wonder if he was thinking he could hide from God. Well, there's always a chance. Nope, there isn't. There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. A little song we sing. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. What? Try me, my Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be any wicked way in me. Guarantee, if you pray that prayer, God will be only too happy to show you some wicked way. I'm doing good. I don't care, on your best day, you pray that prayer and you're going to have God say, did you think about that? Well, no. I didn't think that was such a wicked way. Well, I did. Well, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting, says Psalms. Psalm 139, 23 to 24. Let God reveal the wicked thing. Let God show you the Achan. Let God show you what it is. And he does it before the ark. He does it by the word of God, by a careful search. Maybe you could pray, God, show me. Show me what's wrong. God will take you up on that. But when you pray that, you better be ready with a rock in your hand. Because this might have been a really different story if they would have saw this and said, can't do that. We like Achan. Achan was trouble. And then here's interesting. In the morning, verse 14, catch this. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. Bring the tribes in. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So that's exactly what Joshua did. Now, can you imagine the sweat in the camp on that morning? Okay, I want all the tribes to gather in here. Okay, Zebulun. No, you're good. Away you go. Everybody in Zebulun. Woo! Woo, it's not us. Woohoo, is that good? That feels good. Oh, yeah. Oh, let's see. Once you're excused, then everybody, yeah. I knew it wasn't us. We're good. It's probably them Simeonites. Yeah, they're always bad. They always got something bad. Maybe it's the Levites. What could you think? They're taking them. Judah. Judah's the one. Everybody else stands three paces back from Judah. Don't want to be a Judahite. You know, I liked Judah before. I always thought it would be great if I could be from Judah. Not today. Let's go down the list. And all of a sudden, you know Achan's in the midst of that going, maybe I could stand with Zebulun. Nope. Okay. People are watching. About that time, sweat's going to start beading out on his head. Okay. Friend, God already knows. You know, the day of judgment is going to be a lot like this. It's just not going to be a bunch of people with rocks. You're going to a Christless eternity forever. You want to get this one right, you better be saved by the blood. That accursed thing is your sin, and it needs to be put away. But here it is. Then they brought Judah out, and of course, and then they brought Zerah out, and then Zabdi, and then Carmi, and then Achan. Nobody's left but Achan. He's the last guy standing there. Oh, hi. I can explain. Confess, son. You're it. Yeah, I guess you're right. Here's how it works. I like names in the Bible. I think names mean something. If you got a bulletin, you know where I'm going with this. This is cool. I really liked this when I started to study the names out. You want to find out sin in your life? You want to see if you've got a problem in your life? First thing that's going to disappear in your life is Judah. First one that's going to be taken by God. What? First thing, Judah. And you say, what do you mean? Judah means praise. You will not be a thankful person. You will not be a praising person. Your song will dry up and you're not going to sing nothing. Zippity-doo-dah will be the only thing you can sing, and it's not even going to be on your lips very much. You're not going to be a happy camper. Amen? Amen. Come on, amen?
You're right.
You won't be happy. You won't be, you know. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks. Hey, how you doing? Hey, this is the will of God. You know, you won't be doing that. You'll be going, Your praise goes. Take your Bibles and keep your finger right there, and then flip over to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And you'll see this. This is very interesting because this follows the exact pattern of what's going on here in Joshua. First thing he's taking is your praise. Not going to be a happy person. You're not going to be a thankful person. Your heart will be cold. You will not be joyful. Your song will flee. Again, we do a lot of singing in this church. We like singing. We're not very good at it sometimes, but we just like to do it anyway. Because it's praising God. You're training people to praise God. You thank God. You praise God. You won't have a song in your heart if you're not right with God. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, naked knew God, But they glorified him not as God, neither were what? There goes Judah. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was what? Welcome to Zerah. Next one on the list, Judah. Zerah. Zerah means a rising of light. Rising. Light. You know what's going to go next? Your discernment. You won't be a very discerning Christian anymore. Your praise will go, and so will your discernment, and your foolish heart will be darkened. When the child of God harbors sin in their life, they won't be a very discerning Christian. They'll be sucked in by all sorts of things. They're less careful. They'll stumble a lot about other things, and their light will be dim. Your standards will go in the toilet. Your discerning of right and wrong will go in the toilet. You won't have much discernment when it comes to the Bible. You'll be looking in vain in the Scriptures for something that God's going to speak to you about and bring some things out, and it's going to start drying up. Your devotions will start drying up, and you won't have much light, because that's the next thing to go. Judah. Zerah. Zabdi. It means gift or giving. How can a man use a spiritual gift when he's not walking in the Spirit? You will not be a giving person. Your giving will dry up as well as your gift. Because you won't sacrifice zip for God. You'll give of necessity, but you won't be a cheerful giver. You won't be happy to give to God. You won't, when they take the collection up and you know, oh man, there they're going begging for money again. Oh, yeah, I gave last week to God. And, you know, I just got that. I don't want to give. Keep it. You won't be a cheerful giver. When God asks you something, for something, to do something, you won't want to do it. The gift that you've been given, whatever spiritual gift you've been given, you're going to have problems with it. You won't be able to do it like you could. I know this for a fact. It's the same as preaching. Anybody can preach, and anybody can give you 3 points in a poem. Any public speaker can do that. But it's different if you have the power of God. It's different. And you know when God is with you and when He's not. Your gift will dry up. The next thing happens is Judah, Zerah, Zabdi, Carmi. It means fruitfulness. Or gardener, or vineyard. You're going to be like that tree, that fig tree that has lots of leaves, but no figs. You know, Jesus, it says in Luke, where Jesus went out and he went out to pick figs off a fig tree. It says him being hungered. He wanted to teach them a lesson. This was about Israel. I understand it was about Israel. But here there was a tree, a fig tree, lots of green leaves on it, but no fruit. It looked alive, but it was barren. You're not going to be a praising person. You're not going to have much light. You're not going to have much giving. And you aren't going to have much fruit in your life. You will have no joy. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. You won't have those things. You'll fake it, but you won't have any real stuff. You won't have any character of Christ in your service. Again, you'll be a tree without leaves. Could you get this? If you want to, now that's an assumption. if you want to. You too can trace it down. What's wrong in my life? Checklist. How am I doing with praising? Pastor, no, something's wrong there. Well, how's your discernment? Not too good. How's your devotional life? Having a hard job with it. You know, if you don't have a lot of discernment, you're not going to pick up some very key things, simple things. Didn't you know God doesn't want you doing that? No. You won't be a very giving person. You'll be a very selfish person. How's the fruit in your life? No, good. You see, it's starting to narrow itself down. Until there's one thing left, one name left, Achan. You're left with trouble. You're left with whatever your trouble is. What is it? I don't know the name of your Achan, but I know when I'm not right with God, I can probably narrow mine down. There it is. God knows what it is. So do you. Do you think Achan knew who it was? Especially when they started getting narrower and narrower, and he was like, "Ooh, I'm in every group that they've named. How about that? What a coincidence. Wow, it's my dad's spouse, and boy, I hope it's my sister. Nope, it's me." Joshua said to him, "Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." Pretty useless to hide it now. God just pointed you out. And I got to give him credit. Even in this point, most of us would lie like a cheap rug. But he says, yeah, here it is. You know, there's glory to God when we repent. There's glory to God when we say, "This is the problem, God. It's this trouble in my life. Here it is. I name it. That's right, right there. Lord God, would you help me? That's it right there. There's my aching. That's it." There's glory to God. God gets some glory when you say, "I'm wrong, God. Would you forgive me?" Welcome to the New Testament. God doesn't grab you by the scruff of the neck, drag you back, and stone you to death. Thank God for that, amen? I would have been dead long ago. There wouldn't be anybody here. Anything, well, maybe if you, well, a couple kids maybe. Well, they're born in sin. But God doesn't do that. But you and I need to do it to our Achan. You know what we need to do? We need to say, "Glory to God. And here's a change of mind that's a change of act. Achan and all he possessed was put out from the camp." This is called repentance. When we say, "That's right, let's take Achan and let's take him out to Achor. Let's take him out here and stone him." Everything he possesses. Lock, stock, and barrel. Your trouble that you have, you can't go, "Well, let's keep his kids. You know, we had our trouble with this, but... well, let's go by half measures." Don't we usually do that? The problem of sins in our life, we'll go, "Well, you know, it's bad. No, but today I'll only give up a little bit of it. And maybe tomorrow we'll give up more." No. I'm sorry. If you let those ones live, if you even let a cat that this guy owns live, AI's not going down. And neither is the rest of the land. You better put everything he has in one big pile and burn it. Stone it, burn it. Get rid of it. Heap stones on it. Our sins need to be laid out before God. The blessed confession and the removal of sin. Here is the victory. Here is the peace. Here is the strength. And in this chapter, can I tell you that this is the blessing of God? Here's the good news. You say, "Wait a minute. I read this chapter. This is not good news." Yes, it's good news for the Christian. Welcome to the land of possession. Let me make an application for you and for me. take Achan out back, kill him. Put some stones on him and leave him there. What's your Achan? What's your problem? You got a bitter attitude? You're sour? You're mad? Angry at God? Remember Hazor? You got some walls up around you? You know the trouble. That's what it is. Lord. And you know, it's easy when you say things like this. You've troubled me. Joshua and all Israel took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? You know what you need to do? Why have you troubled me? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with the stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, whereof the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. The Valley of Trouble. Monuments there. You know, we need to raise a monument over our problems and all over our sins and over our trouble. That's where it was. And that's where it is. Catch this. Too many people are out digging in the rocks. You got a problem? You need to put it under a whole bunch of rocks. And you know what you need to do? You need to leave those rocks alone. Don't go digging in there for that wedge of gold. Don't go trying to find the garment. Don't go trying to resurrect Achan. The trouble's dead. And when Satan comes to you and says, hey, don't you remember you got some trouble here? You can go, it's dead. It's dead. There's the rocks. It's dead. I don't want any more to do with that. That's where it's going to stay. You say, well, that was a chapter that's not very fun. It's not a fun chapter as far as the world goes. If you looked at it and you go, what a mean God you serve. Man, that God's pretty mean. God did that so you'd learn something. God did that so Israel would learn something. You want God to work in your life. You want to be free of this. And you say, that's what's troubling us. Let's put it out. Hard lesson. Now, don't go searching for Achans in other people's lives. Oh, we got trouble in the church. It must be you. Make a confession. You do that. You need a good swift kick. There's the problem. Look to yourself. Where's the land of possession? My life. So, can I look for Achans in other people?
No.
Where's Achan living?
Here.
Your trouble. My trouble. My trouble's probably different than your trouble. My Achan's probably different. Maybe you shop at the same place I do. I don't know. Maybe it's got the same price tags as the Babylonian garment. Maybe it looks the same as my Babylonian garment. I don't know. But your trouble is different than mine. But I still need to deal with mine. And you need to deal with yours. What are you going to do tonight? Why don't you do the test? Judah? How's my praise going? How's my discernment? How's my light? How's my giving? Oh no, how's my fruit? Do the test. Simple test. So I put it in the bulletin. So you can do your test in your own time. Do a little checklist. How far has it gone? And it's not hard to come to the point of the problem, the trouble. Just do the little test. Because you know Achan's name, don't you? Don't you? I bet you, and I'm not a betting man, there I go again. We sat down tonight and I got you to write it down, you'd know exactly what it was. That's troubling. It's troubling you. Would you do that tonight? A lot of Sundays you say, well, it's just wonderful. Ha, ha, ha. Let's go on and deal something else. Can I ask you to deal with it tonight? Think about it. You do the test. You narrow it down. You put your finger on it. Because you are not going to have any success in the rest of the land of possession until you deal with Achan. AI's waiting. It's a heap of ruin. Philosophies of the world upside down. Nothing. Little city. But you're not going to beat it until you put Achan out. You know, Achans can rise up any time during your campaign of possession. But God made sure you learned about it early. How are you doing? Are you possessing the land? Are you beating some kings? I heard some stories this week about some people actually making some headway in the land of possession and knock down a few kings. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to hear when people come to me and say, guess what? Another king went down. God blessed me with some victory. Wonderful. And I fully expect to hear more of that. Let's get at this. Let's get some possession down before we meet the master. Amen? Let's possess the possession that God has given to us. The victory is already ours. We fight from victory, not for it. Father God, again, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful grace. Lord, I just ask that You would guide us tonight. Help us to learn more about Thee. Thank You, O God. Thank You for what You do for us, that You give us the power we need. For greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, that if I would just lay hold of that promise and that truth, much more would be accomplished if I would just put my finger upon the Achan. Lord, You would search me out, and I would know and see. Truth be known, I probably know the answer. I know the name of Achan. But he needs to be taken out back and buried. The old man needs to be crucified, that we may live a victorious life for Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.